WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
And welcome back in hour number three of the program here on Thursday morning, 508-996-0500. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
You said you might be a robot. I doubt that. You have personality and humor and all the things robots don't have.
I appreciate that, but
confused. You cannot be confused for a robot.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Are you sure this isn't ChatGPT just trying to give me compliments again, like earlier?
It's the other Steve. That's correct. I use ChatGPT all the time, and I'll give you a good example of, I think it's a great tool. So let's say somebody out there is trying, wants to apply for a really good job or any job. On the employer side, the HR departments already use computers to scan your cover letter and resume to disqualify you, because they get so many resumes, they can't read 1,000 resumes. So what they do is they use computers to actually disqualify your resume, even if you think you're qualified. So what you do is you take your cover letter, you take the ad, you put it in the ChatGPT, you take your resume, put it in the ChatGPT, and then you ask it to write a cover letter that is similar to, picks up the keywords from the ad. And then what you do is you ask it, please use keywords that will get me through the computer screening. And it will actually do that, because it knows what the computer screening is, and it will use keywords that the computer will say, this candidate needs to be pushed forward. So that's just one example of how ChatGPT can actually help you, in this world of computers and, stuff like that,
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and what it does is it gives you, everybody says all the time when they write something, I wish I had somebody I could have look over this before I submit it. And ChatGPT can be that for you. I mean, yeah, you can run it through Grammarly or spell checker or all that stuff to pick up the mistakes, but does it give you the critical analysis that another human being would? And ChatGPT can do that for you.
Well, I've used it for trying to reach out to new clients, because that's always a hard one. If your personality gets in the way of your writing, like if you're in a bad mood that day, you might say the wrong thing and turn someone off. So I'll use ChatGPT to write a letter or an email to a potential client. And then what I'll do is I'll say, if it's too stilted, I'll say, make it sound more like a little more street language. And it will, it'll take the stilted stuff out and it will lighten it up, or, make it more personal and make it more warm. And then, you're the ultimate editor. So you it doesn't send it for you. You edit what you want, but,
right.
It definitely helps put stuff together. If you say, add in that we do this feature through our company, it'll add that in. And there's a lot of advantages. Basically, for me, just using it personally, it just saves time. I mean, I use, I dictate an email through voice to text, and because typing is slower for me, and ChatGPT helps to construct information the way that I want it. It's not doing it on its own. So, it's a good tool.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for the call, and thank you for the insight.
Yeah.
And one of the things I'll tell you I use it for is, I just like Steve was saying, I use it for transcription. So one of the things that I have to do a lot of the time with my job is listen back to segments that we've had here on the radio and then write about them. So let's just say the mayor breaks some news. Oh, you know what? Perfect example. Last week, when Leo Chiquette revealed himself as the source within the city council, the Chris McCarthy source, I wanted to take that interview and utilize that to write a story. Now, I didn't, in this particular case, I did not use ChatGPT for this, because I didn't hear that interview when it was running live, because I was in a meeting and I wanted to hear it. So I did my own transcription. And I'm pretty fast at typing, but when I'm transcribing something that happened on the radio, I can only listen to a few minutes, and then I have to stop and then get caught up in typing and then start it again. So it actually helps me retain what I'm hearing a lot better. So, you know, sometimes I'll do it that way. But if, let's just say it's an interview that I already did. I have, somebody in here in studio, and I want to take that interview and transcribe it. Well, what I'll do is I'll just put the audio file into ChatGPT and say, give me a transcription of this. And it'll give me a very faithful transcription that then I can utilize to say, okay, that's the quote that I want to pick out. That's the quote. And, you know, I'm not going to just take ChatGPT's word for it. I go back and I find it, because you can ask it to give you timestamps. So I just go into the timestamp and find it and listen to it and say, oh, yeah, you got this off by a couple of words, but I'm going to just change it around. But at least I have these markers of where to find what I'm looking for within a conversation. Hugely helpful. Another thing that happens a lot is we will get press releases that are sent to us that are JPEGs. So what will happen is and I don't know why this happens. I would think that communications professionals would be smarter than this. But what they'll do is they'll print out a press release like on printed paper. And instead of attaching the file and sending the file, the PDF or whatever, or the Word doc or whatever it is, they take a picture of it and then upload the picture. So now it's all shrunk down. And now in order to read it, I got to zoom in. And I got, so instead what I do is I just drop that picture in ChatGPT and say, transcribe what this says for me. And ChatGPT does it. So now I can read the press release without having to zoom in and have to scroll across and everything. I can get it in a nice block of text. So those are two things that have been very helpful for me in terms of saving time with my job. Is it doing the work for me? No, because ultimately I'm just using that as a tool to help with what I'm already doing. You're still reading a story that I'm reporting, that I'm writing, that's my analysis, whatever it may be. I'm just utilizing this to get rid of some of the mundane stuff that I had to do in order to do that. As part of my job here, I wear a bunch of different hats now, but one of them is, doing the digital stuff, scheduling stories on social media. And obviously, St. Patrick's Day is coming up. We've had a lot of St. Patrick's Day content written over the years that I'd like to be able to share on social media and remind people of, here's a great article Barry wrote about, Irish origins of people around the South Coast, or here's another story, a great story he wrote about why people have green beer, or, here's a story that Kate wrote when she was here about her time in Ireland. Like all these different things I want people to be able to read because it's appropriate for that time. And also because, it's something that breaks up the hard news monotony. So, but what do I have to do is I have to keep a running list of all these stories that I say I might want to bring back out again at some point. And then I've got to go back and update that list every time there's a... Now what I can do is I can go to ChatGPT and say, find me every story ever written on WBSM.com about St. Patrick's Day. And it'll just give me a list. And then I go into that list and decide, okay, this one's a good one to bring back. This one was not so good. This one was a little bit, it's not fresh. It's timely. It was about something that was happening on that particular date 6 years ago, but I can utilize that as a way to kind of help find some of that content. It's also a great way to say, because, one of the things that we try not to do is write an article that we've already written, right? We've already written it. Why write it again? We can just share that old article. But it happens sometimes because the system itself is hard to find. We've written so much content. You might say, oh, wait, have I ever written about why we have green beer on St. Patrick's Day? And then you search green beer WBSM, or you search within our the back end of our system, and, it doesn't turn up. And it's a little bit clunky and a little bit difficult. And so then you just go into ChatGPT and say, find me an article from WBSM.com about green beer. And anytime it's been mentioned, it'll give you all of those links. And then you can say, no, I never did write that. I can write it again. Or I can write it. Or no, I already wrote that. But you know what? Let's just share this one that I already wrote. So it's hugely helpful in terms of curating things. I like to refer to it as it's my assistant. It's my research assistant. So, one of the things that I find that I get bogged down in is when I'm researching something, going to like Wikipedia to find out more information, you know, and by the way, a little tip for people who are writers, don't cite Wikipedia if you are citing something for information. Use the whatever Wikipedia is citing. Go back to the source material, because you can't guarantee that what's on Wikipedia is a trustworthy citing of that original source. But that's why they all have those superscript numbers next to everything, so you can go back and see the original source. But I am, you know, inevitably go to Wikipedia to find information about something and fall down a rabbit hole. And then I'm reading about this, and then I'm reading about that, and then I've already gone off the point of what my original topic is. I can use ChatGPT to say, I'm looking for first-level sources about why, you know, you use italics instead of quotation marks for a movie title, whatever it may be. And then it will go and find me those direct sources. And then I click on the link and I read it myself and I get the information. All it did was do the digging for me. And for people who are like freaked out by this, this is what search engines were for us when they first came about in the 1990s. People would say, I don't know. It feels like you're cheating to not open up an encyclopedia and find that information for myself. And teachers would deduct points off kids' papers because they used a search engine to find information instead of going to the library and looking it up. They would deduct points if you used Google to find a news story rather than go through the newspaper and find it. Could you imagine that would be the world we're in today? Sorry, kids, you got to go look through the microfiche. You got to have your parents drive you down to the library, find it on microfiche, pay 10 cents a page to print it out, so you can utilize it in your report. So this is just the next generation of that. And it's only going to be as good as we make it and as good as we utilize it for and as good as we prompt it for. And it's a beneficial tool. Now, are there going to be people that take advantage of it? Sure. Are there going to be people who apply for jobs as journalists that are just going to have ChatGPT write their articles? Sure. But what they do is they put safeguards in place so that doesn't happen. We can take any article we write and run it through a program that will tell you if there's AI in it, as many other major media outlets can do. You have to do that because there's a lot of fake information floating around out there. But when it's used correctly, and there will be growing pains to be able to use it correctly, it'll be a game changer. Just as the internet itself once was. Does it suck that there are still people that are using the internet to spew hate and to plan nefarious things and to do things that are morally and legally wrong? Of course. But a majority of the internet is being used for good. And the same thing will happen with artificial intelligence. It's not going to become self-aware. It's not going to decide that humans are irrelevant. We're not going to have Judgment Day like in the Terminator movies. If the servers, if the AI gets too powerful, we'll just unplug the servers. If you want to call in and chime in on that, I'd be interested. Do you use AI, ChatGPT, Gemini, any of those services? I mean, you utilize it all the time without even realizing it, I think. But are you intentionally utilizing AI to help you save time, to help you be more efficient, to help you do things that you couldn't have done otherwise? Let me know. But if you use, you know, Bixby or Alexa or Siri, you're using a form of AI. This is not anything new. It's just, it's reaching the point where it is becoming more ubiquitous and able to do a lot more. If you spend any time on Twitter, I try not to, but if you spend any time on Twitter, you'll see people post something And when somebody's like, I don't know if I believe that, and they'll tag Grok, at Grok, is this true? And then Grok, the artificial intelligence platform on Twitter, will give you a response. And Grok is kind of funny. It has a personality to it. So I think that these AI tools are a big addition and a big help. Again, they've just got to be utilized correctly. Now, is it terrible that, you know, people will misuse them or use them in the wrong manner? Of course. But I think overall, it's a net gain for humanity when it comes to productivity. 508-996-0500. We'll be back in a few moments. And welcome back in, and apologies for that. I had the YouTube commercial playing over the regular commercials. Rookie mistake. My fault. So we talk a lot here on the program about the need for people to find ways to save money. I'm trying to utilize this platform to help you. First of all, I love to save money. And you know I love to shop at thrift stores and find discounts and let you know about all those places. Because not only is it fun for me to go out there and do that, the thrill of the hunt and all that kind of stuff, but I know that it can benefit you. And we also talk a lot about, you know, how things cost more, and so you're going to need more money. And so a lot of folks are going out and getting second jobs. And I was talking with somebody the other day who said, my rent went up $300 a month. I've got to get another job so that I can be able to pay this rent increase. Because even if I was to move, it's going to cost me just as much. And so what I did is they said, do you know any place that's hiring? And immediately I remembered that I've been telling people about Tremblay Bus Company and how Tremblay Bus Company is looking to hire folks. They're looking for bus drivers, van drivers, monitors, and the hours are pretty easy to maintain because you know when they're going to need you. It goes with the school schedule. So you can set the rest of your life around your schedule driving and working for Tremblay Bus Company. So I recommended it to them, and they said, you know what? I'd never even thought about that. But I can work second shift at my regular job, and I could drive the bus during the day. I said, well, find out about it. But there are plenty of positions open, so you can check out Tremblay Bus Company's website, tbcbus.com, tbcbus.com, and see if Tremblay Bus Company is right for you. All right, I'm going to take a news break here. We'll be... Get all the topics from all the headlines of the day from Mike Roberts. That's the word I was looking for. And when we come back, we can talk more with you. I want to hear how you use AI to help you. 508-996-0500. But right now, let's turn it over to Mike Roberts in the WBSM newsroom.
Six American prisoners released in Kuwait. President Trump comments on Rosie O'Donnell's new home and where you can still bring your bags for free.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
SpaceX scrubbed last night's launch to the International Space Station. Four-person crew was scheduled to take off from Cape Canaveral, but the mission was aborted an hour before blasting off. The crew would have replaced two astronauts who have been aboard the ISS for over 9 months. The next launch window for SpaceX scheduled for today. Amtrak taking a poke at Southwest Airlines. The passenger railroad company posted on X, quote, "Guess we're the only ones doing free baggage now." It then reminded passengers they can bring one personal item up to 25 pounds plus two carry-on items of up to 50 pounds each. Southwest Airlines announced on Tuesday would begin charging most customers for checked bags on May 28th. President Trump taking a swipe at Rosie O'Donnell after the comedian announced she's moved to Ireland in protest of the Trump administration. Yesterday at the White House while visiting with Ireland's prime minister, President Trump asked if he knew who O'Donnell was.
You know who she is? Yes.
I'm joking.
You better off not knowing.
Rosie posted a video on Tuesday claiming she and her 12-year-old daughter are in the process of getting Irish citizenship. Six Americans who were imprisoned in Kuwait are now free. A representative for their families announced that they've been returned to the United States. That happened yesterday. Most of the Americans were veterans and former military contractors convicted on drug charges. Several more American prisoners are expected to be released in the coming weeks as part of a new agreement with the United States. The latest gauge of inflation in America, the Consumer Price Index, shows prices for goods and services rose less than expected last month. Mitch McCann breaks down the numbers.
The data from the U.S. Labor Department shows that inflation slowed in February for the first time since September, despite the implementation of widespread tariffs by the Trump administration. The Consumer Price Index increased by 2.8% from a year ago, down from 3% in January. The decline is less than economists had predicted, but it's still higher than the Federal Reserve's target of 2%. The figures show that prices rose for a range of products and services, including auto insurance, used cars, fuel oil, and eggs, which were up 15.2% due to the avian flu outbreak. Mitch McCann, New York.
A total lunar eclipse is going to be visible early tomorrow morning. Natalie Migliori has the details.
Experts say a full moon called a blood moon will make the moon appear red during a total lunar eclipse that's going to peak at 2:55 a.m. Friday morning. The entire eclipse will start late Thursday night, lasting roughly 6 hours. It'll be visible from Earth's western hemisphere with prime viewing conditions across North and South America. Spectators don't need anything special to watch the eclipse, but experts warn light pollution and weather conditions can impact the view, and binoculars could help. I'm Natalie Migliori.
WBSM Sports.
The Celtics lost to the Oklahoma City Thunder at the Garden last night, 118-112. The Red Sox beat the Twins last night in spring training, 6-5. The Sox will play the Mets this afternoon at 1:10. And the Bruins are in Ottawa tonight at 7.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Low temperatures as we wake up on this Thursday morning, right around freezing along the South Coast. And then this afternoon, we're right around the average in the mid-40s today. Most of us hovering right around that 45-degree mark. So again, could be worse. It's just not as springy as the last couple of days have been. It's also pretty gray on this Thursday afternoon, too. We're going to keep the clouds around and the breeze as well. As we move into the evening, temperatures dip back down into the 30s. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Mike Roberts for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app.
Deep inside.
So I just typed in a different prompt to ChatGPT. And, you know, again, just to show you what it can do. And I think you'll get a kick out of this one. I told it, you are a caller into WBSM Talk Radio in New Bedford, Massachusetts, who is concerned about illegal immigration, and you are a conservative Republican. What arguments would you make with the host regarding immigration? And here's what it gave me. Tim, I got to tell you, Tim, I got to tell you, this situation with illegal immigration is getting out of control, and it's happening right here in New Bedford. We've got a city of hardworking, taxpaying Americans who are struggling to make ends meet, and yet we've got undocumented migrants coming in, using up resources, taking jobs, and putting a strain on schools, hospitals, and law enforcement. It's just not sustainable, and it's not fair to American citizens. President Trump had it right. Build the wall, secure the border, and enforce the law. But what are we seeing now? Open borders, sanctuary cities, and no accountability. We've got people coming in who don't even know. We don't even know. No background checks, no vetting. It's a national security risk, Tim. And I get it. People want a better life, but there's a legal way to do that. My family came here legally. A lot of people's ancestors did. Why should we reward those who break the law? It's time to start deporting those who are here illegally. We need to put Americans first. Our economy, our safety, our future. We're being taken advantage of, and it's got to stop. Enforce the laws in the books, crack down on sanctuary policies, and put America first, just like Trump said. That's the only way we're going to save this country. That sounds awfully familiar. Remember earlier when I joked around and said, you know, maybe I'm a robot? How do I know now that you're not the robots when you call in and say these things? How do I know that you are not robots calling in to argue with me? Are you bots? But see, that's how human. I mean, you can argue whether or not you feel that point of view is humanistic. But that's how human these things can sound. Now, how did ChatGPT come up with that? Well, it probably scanned the internet for a lot of arguments that conservative Republicans make against immigration, but it also, in the blink of an eye, probably scanned through thousands of hours of WBSM podcasts and found what other callers were saying. In the 10 seconds it took me, not even, to get that typed up by ChatGPT. This is the kind of the kind of power that this tool has. It, like, you could probably name which caller that sounds like, because it's that dead on to some of the rhetoric that you hear on the airwaves here. So I'm going to have to start asking you all when you call in, before you make your points, are you a robot? Of course, a robot's going to tell you no. That's how they fool you. The only way you can know for sure is you have to peel back their scalp, right? And then if you see the wires, no, don't do that. But I think that that's pretty dead on for a lot of the arguments that we've heard. 508-996-0500. Please be a real person. And you can also send those app chat messages on the WBSM app. Again, please be a real person. And we'll be back after a quick break. Nothing's gonna change the way you live, 'cause we can always dig but never give. And now the things are changing for the worse. See, whoa, it's a crazy world we're living in. And I just can't see it. I mean, I'm getting some virtual insanity out of ChatGPT right now because it's insane how much it sounds like an actual WBSM caller. We're going to get to that in a moment, but before I do that, I should have asked it to tell me about the butcher shop, but it was going to tell me what I already know, that the butcher shop is the place to go for high quality but affordable meat, cut right there in front of you, cut the way that you want it. And it's the place to go to get all of the great foods that you know and love. And what's great about the butcher shop is they get to know you there. So they're going to know when they've got what it is that you like. And they're going to put it aside for you. And they're going to make sure they have it the way that you like. Oh, you particularly like it when it's well marbled or a little bit on the fattier side. I got one for you. That's the way that they'll treat you at the butcher shop. Like you're part of the family. It's a real old school neighborhood market. And right now, they're taking your orders for your corned beef for St. Patrick's Day. And of course, tomorrow being a Friday in Lent, they'll have all of your seafood needs as well. Don't just take my word for it. Stop by the butcher shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. See all that they have to offer. Talk with Joe, talk with Eric, and you'll become a regular customer of the butcher shop. I guarantee it. Check them out. 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford, the butcher shop. All right, are you ready for this? So anybody can type in, you know, you are listening to, you know, you're a WBSM caller and, you know, give you a national issue like immigration and it's going to give you that. I asked it for a little bit drilled down. Mary, just hang on 1 second. I'm going to just read through this very quickly. So I said, you are a caller into WBSM in New Bedford. How do you feel about the current state of the city council? Here's what it gave me. Tim, I got to tell you, the New Bedford City Council is an absolute mess right now. I mean, do these people even listen to the voters anymore? It feels like they're more interested in pushing their own agenda than actually fixing the problems in this city. Taxes keep going up. Crime is a problem. Businesses are struggling. And yet, what are they focused on? Petty political infighting and nonsense. And don't even get me started on the dysfunction. Every meeting turns into a circus. Half of them seem more interested in arguing with Mayor Mitchell than actually working with him to get things done. And then you've got counselors who just want to grandstand and make speeches instead of coming up with real solutions. Where's the leadership, Tim? Where's the accountability? Look, I love this city. I want to see it thrive. But do we need people in that council chamber who actually care about New Bedford and not just their own egos and political futures? Maybe it's time for some fresh faces in there because what we have now just isn't working. So I said, okay, well, what do you feel about the discord between New Bedford city councilors Linda Morad and Leo Chiquette? Tim, I got to tell you, this whole situation between Linda Morad and Leo Chiquette is just another example of why the city council is a total circus right now. These are elected officials, grown adults, and yet they're acting like kids fighting on the playground. Instead of working together to fix real issues in the city, they're too busy taking jabs at each other, holding grudges, and turning meetings into soap operas. Look, I get it. Politics isn't always pretty, but at the end of the day, they were put in those seats to serve us, the people of New Bedford, not to have personal battles with each other. It's embarrassing. We've got issues with crime, taxes, infrastructure, and they're too focused on their little feud. Give me a break. I don't care if you're Team Morad or Team Chiquette. How about being Team New Bedford for once? How about putting aside the ego and actually getting something done? Because right now, Tim, it just looks like a bunch of bickering while the city's real problems are getting ignored. And then it asks me, would you like me to get a little bit more detailed? And I said, go deeper. And it said, Tim, this ongoing feud between councilors Linda Morad and Leo Chiquette is a glaring example of the dysfunction plaguing our city council. Their personal disputes are overshadowing the pressing issues New Bedford faces, from economic development to public safety. Instead of collaborating for the betterment of our community, they're entangled in petty conflicts that serve no one. Take, for example, the recent controversy surrounding the city council presidency. The election of Shane Burgo was marred by intense infighting and external pressures, notably from the police union and conservative media figures. This turmoil not only distracted from the council's legislative duties, but also eroded public trust in our local government. This is getting a little bit too formal. Moreover, the revelation that a council member was labeled the sleaze for leaking information about longevity pay further illustrates the toxic environment within the council chambers. Such actions divert attention from policymaking and tarnish the council's reputation. It's high time our elected officials set aside their personal vendettas and refocus on the needs of New Bedford residents. We deserve a council that prioritizes our city's challenges over internal squabbles. If they can't rise above petty disputes, perhaps it's time for new leadership that can. ChatGPT, man. Take a bow. All right, let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hi, how's it going?
Is this really you, Mary, or is it a robot?
If I'm a robot, I'm the best there is.
Okay, there we go.
Now,
I had to miss some of the show. I was getting blood work done, and it was the first time I was ever there, and there was only two people there.
Wow.
And after that, I ran some errands. But I did hear some of it. And about, I want to say something about the guy that was locked in a room for 20 years.
Yeah.
Now, when she was bringing him the sandwiches, you don't think he could have, like, batted her in the head or something?
Well, so...
And not only that, but then he was out with his father one day doing trash or something. He couldn't say something to his father. Well, or no, maybe he was in on it. Or he could have ran away.
That was before. So that was before he was kept in the room. So he was. He ended up being kept in the room after the father died. So he... When the father was alive, he had more freedom. You know, he still felt that he was being mistreated. He wasn't being fed properly. But it was after the father died that he got locked into the room. And he got emaciated to the point where he only weighed 70 pounds. So he didn't have the strength to fight her.
Well, I know he didn't have... Yeah, but I mean, he could have picked up something, batted her over the head. Any way to get out of there.
I don't know.
I'm sorry for the guy, but come on. You're going to tell me he couldn't get out of there somehow. Open a window? Did she cement the window shut? No window in the room?
I have no idea.
Okay, and one last thing, because I know I'm waiting. You got to go. The illegal car washers at the Minuteman. I go by there all the time. They did my car a couple of times. But according to you, they were here a long time, though. So that's like telling the illegals, come on over here.
Well, it's not according to
job,
me. That's...
Be happy. Just don't get caught, and you'll be okay. They were still here illegal, you know.
That wasn't me saying that. That was Channel 12's reporting, is that they were told that some of them had been there for over a decade working at the car wash.
I know, but it sounded like you were kind of defending them a little bit. They were here a long time. You know somebody, and then all of a sudden they got to be shipped back. Yeah, you know them, but they did all that damage. They came here like that. You know, I go to the best car wash. So cheap, and it works good. I just take my car out of the garage and put it out in the rain. And you can't beat it. I come back, it's all nice and clean. Sometimes I wipe it down. Sometimes I don't have to because the sun will come out and dry it after the rain. And all is good. Why go spend, what did you say, $24? Is that what you said?
You know, I'd like to see Mother Nature's papers. I don't think that she's here legally. I don't think she's ever applied to be here. So you're using illegal work to get your car washed.
Yeah, well, how many dogs did you eat yesterday?
None.
You didn't go have no hot dogs?
No.
All that talk about it, I thought you wouldn't have some.
No, I went last Friday.
Oh. I didn't get a chance to post a lottery. No, I hope nobody won. I didn't check my tickets yet. You know what I did? It's so stupid. Somebody would say to me, well, Mary, that's because you're getting old. You know, these things are going to happen to you, you know. I had my tickets on the table all day long waiting for the evening numbers. And somehow, I don't know, I did a cleanup job, and guess where they went? I had a bunch of stuff on top of it. I just grabbed it. My tickets went right into the trash. Gone. I had to go out and play them again.
Oh, well.
It was horrible. As soon as I realized I didn't have them, I said, oh, my God, did I throw them in the trash with the rest of my papers? And yes, I did. So, sucker me, I had to go out and get them again. Now I'm afraid to check them.
Well, you're due for a big win one of these days.
Oh, and you know what I'm going to get to. There's two things I'm going to get. One is for me and one is for you. And you know what it is.
And we're going to be driving around in style, eating our hot dogs.
Yep. Have a great day.
You as well. Caller, hang on. I'm going to get to you. Let me just take this quick break so I don't miss it. And then we'll wrap up with your call. All right, let's finish up with this call. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. Gilded Sackiolis.
How you doing?
I'm calling in to thank you.
Okay.
Okay. For reading that letter that I gave you to read in the air about how they grandstand about the city council. Well,
I didn't realize you were the guy behind ChatGPT, Gilly.
Okay. No, I just want to thank you for putting it out there, how they act like little kids and everything. So I want to thank you. At least you read it. Thank you.
All right. Have a good day. I was actually reading from ChatGPT. So that was... again, as I was saying earlier, over 50% of Americans said that they have interacted with a chatbot like ChatGPT, and I was kind of giving you some ideas of what it can be used for to help with productivity, but, you know, just having some fun with it. I asked it to pretend to be my drunk best friend and tell me all the things it loves about me, and it gave me all that. And then I asked it to pretend to be a WBSM caller and tell me what it thinks about the city council. and the invite, and it sounded like it could have been. It sounded like it could have been a ghillie call. The only thing that was missing from there was the phrase "Linda Morad is a tyrant." If that had been in there, I would have said this thing is scanning Gilly Safiola's phone calls to WBSM. That's how it is creating this conversation. But it really is pretty funny how dead on it was, sounding just like a WBSM caller. So from now on, you've got to.